Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
You make bones out of sand. Hot blood turns into glass. When flesh grows in, invited from the parts of the earth that keep such secrets, a trek through the desert will temper the bones. Like everything else, it starts out fragile. It would have seemed poetic in a way if it hadn't come from the little girl I was sitting across from on the subway. It was actually disturbing as a small, bright face looked at me as she spoke. I looked at her mother, or who I assumed was a mother anyway, and expected something to be said. She just looked down at her phone, scrolling with her thumb intermittently. I looked left and right to see if any other people had heard and were as off-put as I was. But the semi-full subway car didn't carry another person that was paying attention to anything outside themselves. Just me. Me and the little girl that spoke of glass and bones. I opened my mouth, but couldn't decide what to say. So I shut it again and pressed my lips into a thin, polite smile. I'd never been good with people, not strangers anyway, and that was under normal circumstances. This didn't feel like normal circumstances. The little girl smiled back and kicked her legs back and forth as she sat on a seat. Unease spread through my body as I looked up, away from the child, and tried to force my tense muscles to ease up, relax. We passed an intersection at just the right speed for me to catch a glimpse down it. I could see the tunnel of fluorescent lights and tracks going on and on out of sight. It was gone in an instant. I didn't know that there were places where the tracks crossed in the subway, but then again, I'd never ridden one until I moved not long ago. I was still acclimating to public transport as my last home didn't have much to offer. The image of the tunnel, an unexpected gaping hole in the wall, stuck in my head. It's not really like that. My attention snapped back down to the little girl when she spoke again. My stomach tensed up as I looked at her. I tried to push away the feeling like I had done so many times, trying to swallow my anxiety away. My eyes flickered to her mother again, but she was still concentrating on her phone. "What's that, sweetie?" I regretted the words as soon as they left my mouth. First of all, calling a random little girl sweetie made me cringe a little. But on top of that, I found myself dreading her response. "The subway, it's not like this." "Oh, okay." My impulse to try and carry on the conversation to be polite was crushed by my growing unease. It had started as a small bloom in my stomach, but it was vining out and starting to cling to my insides, making my muscles feel like they were forming knots. I smiled again, but it didn't feel polite. It felt desperate. I tried to casually glance around, but once again nobody was paying attention to me or the little girl. I reached into my sweater pocket for the small paperback I usually kept on me. The book was usually a good excuse to keep your head down and keep to yourself. I didn't know if it would dissuade the little girl, but I had to try. My stop wasn't for a while yet. In fact, there wasn't any stop for a while yet, so I knew for certain I would be stuck with her until then. I read a paragraph in my book once, twice, three times. I couldn't focus or remember what I read. It's like the words were whispered from far away by my internal voice, and I just couldn't make them out. I sighed, now frustrated on top of everything else, and looked up. Not at the little girl, no, but above her, out the window. We passed another crossing, another tunnel running through the one I was currently gliding down, and I remembered that I never noticed them before. I hadn't been on many trips yet, sure, but it began to seem odd. I put it down to usually being able to read my book with no issue, keeping to myself. "Do you want to know about the secret places where flesh is reborn?" I didn't even bother looking at her mother for a reaction, or anyone else for that matter. I realized that this child and I were effectively alone in the subway car. I wanted to scream, just to see if anyone else would look at me. But I took a breath instead. The thought was ridiculous, of course, and I wanted nothing less than to cause a scene. "Excuse me?" The tremor in my voice did not deter the little girl's happy face and wide, sparkling eyes. "Everything comes from somewhere. The sand, the blood, the flesh. You have to know where to gather the ingredients." "I don't understand, but I don't want to talk about this." I was more forceful than intended, but hoped I got my point across. Children don't offer heed to subtlety anyway. I turned my face back to my book pointedly, to find a small, black beetle sitting on my wrist. I jumped, dropping my book, and shook it off. I brushed my clothes to make sure it wasn't still clinging to me somewhere, and a sense of revulsion joined my growing panic. I then wished more than ever I'd gotten a prescription from a doctor that tied me over in my new home. Getting into an office as a patient was more problematic than expected, and I had leaned on my scant supply of anxiety meds to get me through interviews. "You have to go to the deep, dark places where the sun doesn't reach and the soil is fertilized by the remains of the giants." I tried to pick up my book, but just looking at the floor made me dizzy. I was afraid if I leaned over, I would succumb to the nausea that was intensifying with every click of the tracks. I looked up as we passed another tunnel, another intersection, another long, empty corridor, and it raised goosebumps on my arms when I realized it was different. It was shorter, darker, the quality of the lights were degraded and they flickered. I realized I saw too much for a passing glance, and my stomach dropped. How did I see so much as fast as we were going? I watched the walls zip by like usual. "Do you know how deep the subways are? Do you know how deep this subway is?" I didn't want to look at her, but I had to. I couldn't stop my body from casting my eyes down to her. She hadn't changed at all. Nothing in the subway car but me ever changed at all. And just looking at her beautiful little face made my blood run cold. I pictured blue blood, starved of oxygen, flooding around glass bones inside my body, and I hated my own brain for creating the thought. It was getting hard to breathe. "Do you count the steps down from the surface?" she asked, while smiling to expose her neat, square little teeth that had two missing spaces along the top row. "I don't." But that was a lie. I counted every time. I've always counted stairs and ceiling tiles and daisy petals. It felt like I was always counting something, just to keep my mind from spiraling away from me. I tried to remember how many steps there were from the surface to the subway. How many steps did it take for the sunlight to transition into the dim, lifeless bulbs below the earth? I couldn't remember. I couldn't think of it, though I'd done it a dozen or so times by then. I noticed that, in the back of my mind, I was still counting. I'd never really stopped counting since I left the sidewalk. I shook my head to try and erase the countdown, my awareness of it. I tried to will it away, but the numbers, ever growing, stuck to my consciousness. Spite lasts. It lasts like nothing else does. I put my face in my hands, but the girl didn't stop. "Do you know what kind of spite trickles down from the giants, having a whole world taken from them? A paradise, to be ruined. Spite that sits in the earth longer than the bones do. It festers and brews and feeds." "Hey, is this your daughter?" I practically shouted at the woman, engrossed in a phone. But she didn't even startle, let alone look up or answer me. "It feeds on fear." The girl didn't stop talking in a childish but even tone. It's a voice that now fills me with terror, that threatens to leap from my throat. "Hey, anybody?" I shouted down the subway car, one way, then the other. "Is anybody else hearing this? Can any of you hear me?" Nobody answered, or moved, or so much as sniffed in annoyance at my outburst. Spite digests fear like stomach acid digests food, and the earth creates flesh like a womb. I look out the window, desperate for any sign that we were nearing my stop. I thought to myself that this just has to stop. It has to. Please, just something make it stop. All I saw was another identical but unfamiliar tunnel. It was shorter. It was darker. It felt like not just another direction for trains to follow, but this whole other place. No, it wasn't a place, but a thing that was drawing closer and closer the longer I sat there. It felt malevolent, and my heart was then hammering inside my chest, my skin prickling with anticipation for something unidentifiable and horrible that was bearing down on me, on everyone in the subway car, if they existed at all. But why would I even think that? Of course they exist, I told myself. I looked down to see more beetles in my hands, and I shook them off frantically. My skin was crawling so viscerally, I hadn't even noticed the bugs at first. I don't want this. It was practically a sob as the words came unbidden out of my mouth. You don't get to choose. A god is forming. A great, horrible god is eating and growing and waiting. The girl laughed, but it was humorless. It wasn't mocking or cruel. It was just a sound that reverberated in my brain, threatening to break apart the tenuous grasp I had on reality. Or at least what I thought had to be reality, because it couldn't be that. No, it couldn't be that horrible subway car full of people who couldn't hear me, and a little girl that certainly didn't act like a little girl. Another gaping hole in the wall appeared across from me, through the window. I couldn't tell if my skin was just prickling from terror, or if the feeling of movement on my face was tears, or if it was all beetles, but I couldn't bring myself to look away from that tunnel. I just clawed at my clothes and hair as I was transfixed by the gaping void across from me. It wasn't even pretending to be a tunnel anymore. The break in the subway was jagged, and the hole was darker, yet more alive. The broken subway tiles were like teeth, and the flickering lights more like the wet glistening of the inside of a mouth. That's when I finally screamed. I screamed as we passed the horrible hole in the subway wall. I stood and screamed and brushed more black beetles from my body and screamed. I screamed so hard that my vision went blurry from the effort. I screamed so long I went deaf to the sound of it. Spite fueled by fear will feed a god to break anything unbroken, a god of vengeance. The little girl's voice seemed so far away, but it stirred something inside of me. Suddenly, I didn't have the energy to be afraid anymore. The terror had burned up everything inside me. The anxiety and the stress and the confusion had completely fried my brain. I didn't even realize I'd stopped screaming until I noticed that I could hear the rhythmic clicking of the tracks again. I sat back down, suddenly calm. This was either real or it wasn't, but either way, I needed to protect myself. There was no way out, so I did the only thing that years of all sorts of anxiety and a fair amount of trauma had taught me to do. I shut down. I disassociated. Like a clockwork doll, my gears shut down one by one from head to toe, and the world around me, whatever world it was, became a poorly painted stage I was nothing more than a prop on. Had everyone else already been pushed this far? Is that why they didn't respond? The little girl's legs stopped swinging. What are you doing? Her tone changed for the first time since she had spoken about the bones made of sand. It seemed like hours ago by then. Maybe a whole day. I'm sorry. I dropped my book. My voice itself sounded like an afterthought, monotone, as I numbly reached to the floor. As I grasped my book, several black beetles fell from my sleeve with their legs curled against their bodies. I dusted off the cover. There we go. I didn't really mean to do or say anything. My body was on autopilot, subway mode activated. The earth is full of boiling blood from creatures ages older than your earliest ancestors. Oh? I cracked open my book. Just an extra in a play, acting out their role as a weekday commuter. The anxiety left and had taken most of my senses with it. You'll all be ruled by an incredible monster. The little girl started yelling and stood on her seat. You'll succumb to an ancient stomach. She may as well have been quiet radio static crackling across from me. I could hear her, but I couldn't process the words in any meaningful way. Everything but basic functioning was turned off. I barely realized I should care, and even that dwindled away. I turned the page of my book, having not read a word, I started counting until it was reasonable for a person actually reading to need to turn another page. I counted to 100, then proceeded as if I had read every sentence. "What are you doing?" It was her turn to sound scared, maybe angry. It was hard to tell. I looked up, and she was then blocking the window, but I glanced ahead anyway, as if I could see through her, and I could barely see anything from the haze of my own defense mechanism. I just noticed the wall flitting by in my peripheral vision. I looked back down at my book and started counting to the next page. It felt like my organa and bone and brain were wrapped up in cotton. Everything was dampened, muted. It was a comforting feeling. So many times in school, with my family, work, college, in public, I shut down to protect myself and get through whatever horror was happening around me. I heard the girl, or whatever she was, thump back down in her seat. A familiar hiss reached my ears that signified my stop was approaching. I closed my book and put it in my back pocket. I folded my hands in my lap and stared ahead with a polite smile stuck into place. Default, innocuous, a carefully crafted expression as did not invite any attention. The girl's hand suddenly shot out and gripped my arm, incredibly firm for such a small hand, but I didn't so much as flinch. I was used to much harsher treatment from much larger hands. I learned to not react decades ago. Reacting makes it worse. Whatever may be coming. Shut down, endure, survive. "You won't stay with me?" She sounded more like a little girl than she had the whole time. A real little girl. "I'm sorry, sweetie." My fake customer service voice dripped from her mouth. "This is my stop, and I have to go to work. But it's been nice talking to you." I didn't mean any of it, but I didn't have to. "But..." Her mother, or whatever it was, finally came to life at that. She pulled the child back into a seat. "Come on, hun, leave the nice person alone. It's time for them to go. Maybe next time you'll make a friend that stays longer." The woman smiled at me as I stood and grabbed my things. I mirrored it back at her. I heard the subway car doors open and I moved towards them. It wasn't until I was out and moving quickly to the stairs that my brain allowed me to register what I had seen on my way out. Every other person in the car, every single person who wasn't me, the girl or a mother, was a corpse. They were in various states of decay, and the more advanced ones were writhing with black beetles. When I was finally in the sunlight and the open air, finally out of that bizarre hellscape, finally out of that disgusting mass grave, I vomited. There was no bush or trash can to throw up into, so I pitched forward and heaved hard several times until my stomach was completely empty. Then I fled. I didn't want to be aware of anyone or anything around me. I just walked as quickly as I could towards my job. Work. I felt like that would be safe, and I could breathe. I just needed to get to work, and everything would be okay, and the nightmare would be over. I finally walked into the front doors, and it was like walking into a whole new, clean atmosphere, and I could breathe deeply for the first time since I boarded the subway and sat amongst the... I couldn't even think about that, though. Whatever it had been. I couldn't let myself think about the trip, or the doctor's appointments I needed, or the therapy I needed, or the exorcism. I didn't have the time or the energy to sort out any of that. Who would believe anything I said? I took a deep breath and started heading to my desk. "Hey, early as always," my cubicle neighbor made his way toward me. I looked up and tried to smile, but I must have faltered because his face turned down just a hair. "Are you okay? Can I get you a drink?" He gestured with his mug of coffee. Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you, though. Just a rough subway ride." I laughed as if to brush it off, but it sounded hollow to me. "Thinking about a trip from your old job?" His eyebrows seemed to arch impossibly high on his head. "No, just now, but it's fine. I just want to get to work." I smiled winningly to assure him that I was indeed okay. Instead, he frowned even harder. "We don't. He lowered his voice and came a bit closer. We don't have a subway around here. I felt cold all over in an instant. What did I say? I meant food. I hit up Subway for breakfast on my way over. I hoped, with every particle of my being, that there was actually a decently local Subway sandwich shop. It was a hassle, not worth it. Okay, if you're sure. He considered me for a silent moment, but apparently figured whatever I was going through was harmless. Why don't I grab you a bottle of water? Sure, that would be great. Thanks. I walked back to my desk on numb legs and sat down. I was frozen for a moment. I let myself count to 30, and after that, I had to get moving. No subway here? I'd ridden it over a dozen times. I killed the thought before it could awaken new panic. For 30 seconds, I just sat like a dummy again, pushing everything unnecessary out of my mind. Then I turned on my computer and started unpacking my things. Once everything was in its place for the day, I reached into my sweater pocket. The book was more than just for emergency reading. It was a comfort. It helped ground me when everything else felt wrong. Some people have worry stones or stress balls or jewelry to fiddle with. I ruffled the pages of a worn paperback. It was gone. I'd either dropped it in the... or it fell out of my pocket when I'd been throwing up. Either way, it was gone, and I felt a bit naked. It was still my probationary period at work, so I couldn't just beg to go home early. But I still considered it for a moment when my fingers met the inside seam of my pocket with no resistance. I took another breath and logged into my computer. The rest of the day went on perfectly normal. No giants, no bones, no gods. My neighbour seemed pleased in the positive turn in my mental state since that morning. There was no trouble, nothing that made me question existence or my sanity. Near the end of my shift, I started getting nervous though. Part of me wanted to know what would be there if I walked to the subway that my co-worker said didn't exist. I couldn't bring myself to Google it. Not at work. Not before I could really rest and recover. I was getting on by willpower alone, and it was quickly fading. I felt like it was made out of a soap bubble, and the slightest tremor would destroy me. I felt like my brain would pop with any more stress. I scheduled an Uber to pick me up instead. That also went well, as they didn't talk, and I stared at my phone the whole time. As the driver pulled up to my apartment building, I could almost convince myself that the whole thing had been an extremely vivid nightmare I had on the way to work. The subway existing or not, who knows? Maybe I was walking the whole time and just made up the subway to protect myself. I knew that didn't make sense, but I didn't care. I was beyond exhausted. I just wanted a hot shower and my bed. No, I needed an extremely hot shower, and then to fall into a sleep, damn near like a coma. I unlocked my apartment door and pushed it open. I heard something scrape across the floor, and I looked down, just to have panic flood through me all over again. Fresh, ice-cold terror washed away any other thoughts as I looked at the floor. It was my book. The one I had lost on whatever journey I had taken. It was covered with dirt. Nearly pitch black, damp earth clung to it, as if it was excavated from a grave. A little black beetle trundled out from between the pages.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.